Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is moving mightily by the Holy Spirit. He loves each and every one of His children. He's devoted to His vast love towards His people. And the Lord has been that way ever since we met Him, ever since He said, "Let there be light." And the Holy Spirit was moving on the face of the waters. God was undoing a judgment that had happened, and He was restoring the earth for man. And ever since that day, ever since that moment, the Lord has been very consistent in His diligent plan of redemption for His people. He loves His people. So when we come to the Lord, when we see the light and we begin to desire it and wonder about it and we enter into it, everybody has one thing in common. They go through a transition. And what the Lord put on my heart today is transition. When people have come to the light, they don't always know what they just see something better and they want to find out about it. And then they sense the love of God towards them. And they're interested to learn. And some people receive it. Some faster than others. But anybody that has a good and honest heart, and they'll be doing God knows what until they see the light. And while they're out of the kingdom of God, the enemy try to wreck their lives. So sometimes the people, that's why you hear stories of hardened criminals. You know, they did disgusting things you wish they would go ahead and be punished for. But when they hear the gospel, they sincerely come to the Lord, and the Lord can change their lives. So this is why the gospel must go out. This is why we must live according to the light of God's word. Some people are not going to, they need every influence available. God has put a part of Himself in every person. So when we follow through with the word of God and obey Him, then the Lord can work and be active in our lives and give people hope. So In when the thoughts came to me about transition, I thought about Luke chapter 16. And so this is the key verse I want to use. I'm going to go ahead and read that, and I'm going to come back to it. verse 8 is the key verse. This is the verse that came that I thought about. But for clarity, I'm going to go back and take a closer look at the parable so you get the whole thought. Now, the key verse is Luke 16 verse 8. "And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light." Okay. And there's a reason for that. Now, at the beginning of Luke 16, I noticed something. Verse 1 says, "And he said unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that had wasted his goods." Now, what I want to point out is, number one, verse 1 is following another thought. It starts off saying, "And he said also unto his disciples." So I flipped the page. I'm on my cell phone. So I went to Luke chapter 15, scroll to the bottom of it. And he had just finished the parable of the prodigal son. So I scroll back up to the beginning. I see, and I read it. This fits what I'm trying to say. The Lord loves his people. He knows for a fact that we're born in darkness. We think like darkness. We're shaped by darkness. Born in iniquity, born in sin, shaped in iniquity. And he's trying to redeem us. That's what's happening. So along the way, we pick up thoughts and traditions and belief systems that don't work in our favor or God's favor. But God loves us anyway. So as we come to the light, we still have to transition. So consider this parable. I'm going to read chapter 15 now. And this will show us what people go through who transition. Verse 1 begins, "Then draw near unto him all publicans and sinners for to hear him." Now, these are the people that society has no place for. The tax collectors, sinners. They came to hear. They saw something in Jesus and they came to hear. Now my Bible app has different colors, about four or five different colors that you can highlight your verses. So yellow is the color of hope, so I highlighted it yellow. Then verse 2 says, and the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receives sinners and eat with them. Okay, so they're ridiculing. So I painted it purple for darkness. Verse 3 says, and he spake this parable unto them, saying, now it's Jesus talking. I highlighted this in pink because that's the closest thing to red. Verse 4 says, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doeth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he has found it, he layeth it hold on his shoulders. He layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Just like God when he finds one of his own that went astray. And verse 6, and when he cometh home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Now, if you have the heart of God, you can plainly see that God values every person. Now, our society don't value every person. The Pharisees didn't value the sinners, the prostitutes, the drunkards, the homeless, and then and especially the tax collectors. So, but God does. Anybody that's coming to him, heaven rejoices. This is why, as we get to know the Lord, our ability to value people increases. When our love increases, everything about us increases. When we hear God, we understand him better. Now, cold religion paints God in a different light. You know, the cold religious mind has a way of thinking. It thinks, you know, that God is like they are. The Pharisees thought that Jesus should be blamed for trying to help sinners. That's what cold religion does. It has no use for people that are not like them. People that love praise and pride. But when you get to know the Lord, he does have use for people. Not only the wicked, the people that are down on they have terrible misfortunes and they've gotten over into the world somewhere long ago and they're trapped by it. He also has love for the Pharisees as well. But he can't help them because they refuse to come to the light. They ridicule and judge the light. So as you begin to go forward doing the things of God, learning his ways, learning his laws, his ways of doing things, you see that it makes sense. And all the things of darkness makes no sense. It shouldn't even be there. It shouldn't be. If God didn't make it, it shouldn't exist. So we still have the challenges, all the challenges of transitioning from darkness to light. And what Jesus said in 16:8, he said, the children of this world they're more skilled at operating their system than the children of light in theirs. So we have to transition to come to a point where we're like Jesus, well balanced in the Lord. That's our goal in life, to be like Jesus, to do what he did. He gave us God's example. He showed us the Father and the heart of God. And he welcomes everybody. So that's a transition all by itself, to have the ability to welcome everybody. Then he said, he gave another parable just like the first one. Verse 8 says, 15:8. Either that woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doeth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligent till she find it. Now, verse 9, now I highlighted that in 8 because Jesus, in red and pink because Jesus is speaking close to the red. Then verse 9, I highlighted it in yellow. And when she had found it, she calls her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. It's a good thing to find what you've lost. Verse 10. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repented. I highlighted this one in light green because it's truth. It's true. God rejoices over one sinner that repented. Verse 11. See, green is the color of life. The Lord told me that. It's truth. Verse 11. And he says, a certain man had two sons. Now, this is where it really gets interesting. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. And he divided unto them his living. He gave both sons what were fault. He gave them their inheritance ahead of time, before he died, both of them. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. He's going to go play with the world. The world lured him out there, and he followed after it. And just like everybody that do, they make a mess of themselves. But God still loves them. And you know, and people that die doing that, they can't go to heaven, of course. They died in their sin. What can God do now? They chose to go into the dangerous ways and that shouldn't even exist in the first place. But let's continue. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in lack and want. Verse 15. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Imagine that, a Jewish person feeding pigs. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did not eat. And no man gave to him. And when he had came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? See, this is a good illustration. If you train up your children in the way they should go when they're old, when they come, they'll have something, they'll have a comparison. And a lot of people get interested in the world because they don't value what they got. They see people over there in the dark having fun and they want to get in on it. But they don't realize the darkness shouldn't exist. It does something to you. But they don't see that part. They don't see the hook side. They see the bait side. And the bait is wiggling at them. And then they get hooked by it. And I'm going to read verse 17 again. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's house have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will rise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Now, he knew what he was doing. I sinned against heaven and before you. You did your best to train me, and I spit on it. And then he said, I am no more worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of the hired servants. Now watch what the father did. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Is that the way to do the person that did you wrong? But it said this was the father. See, as you transition into the ways of God, you will become a father. You will, in other words, you will become an elder. You will become mature. That's the word I want. Because the Father, Christ is formed in him. He knows better. He still has the love of God. He knew that he was looking for a son because he knew one day he's going to come down that road that he walked down because he'd been praying for him, of course. Now, it's not listed in the parable, but that's what happens. If one of your children go astray, you pray for them. That's what we do. Verse 20 again. And he rose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I am no more worthy to be called your son. He said this from his heart. This is this is what real repentance does. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and his shoes on his feet. And bring here the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. I just saw something. You know, the lukewarm Christian, Jesus said they are miserable, wretched, poor, blind, and naked. And the father said to his servants, he had repented, see, now he can be corrected. Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand, covenant, and shoes on his feet. He did away with his nakedness. He did away with his miserable condition. He stopped being wretched because he wanted repentance. He had hope for once because he was coming back to the Father. Put a ring on his hand. He's back in covenant, back in fellowship with his Father. He is fully restored now. See, when you come back to Jesus, you get fully restored too. But Jesus said, buy me gold that you be not poor. And buy me clothes that you don't be naked. See, everybody in heaven they wear white clothes, which represents righteousness, purity. No sin, which is no reason for sin anyway. Sin is a contaminant. That's not what God created. God didn't create everything. He didn't create sin. He didn't create darkness. I'm talking about spiritual wickedness. And he didn't create evil. This is his enemy's idea. So, the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring here the fatted calf and kill it, let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now the lukewarm church is lost. Jesus is trying to bring it back into the fold. They went astray. So he said to them, buy me gold. Come back. Buy me gold. Buy clothes. And you do that by living according to the love of God and putting away the darkness. And then you automatically begin to accrue wealth because, now I'm talking about spiritual wealth, because if you live in the image of God, if you live in the light, you help other, you represent Christ, like you're designed to do this. And so when you live your everyday life in the light of God's word and not according to the darkness of this world, then you not only are you continually transitioning, you help other people do the same thing. Now watch this problem. Now here is the one that kept it. He had his inheritance, but he didn't leave the father's house. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of his servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, thy brother is come, And the father killeth the fatted calf because he hath received him safe and sound. Now, verse 27, it's in green again. And verse 28, it's in dark purple. Because the other son, and it says, it reads it this way, and he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. Now, he's acting just like them Pharisees. The Lord is being good to the sinners and the tax collectors, and the Pharisees was angry. So was this guy against his own blood brother. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gave me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, and has killed for him the fatted calf. And he said to him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was fit. Now, we don't use the word meat, so I'm putting the word fit in there. It was meat or fit that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Isn't that something? Now, let's go to verse 16. Now, see, he's continuing with the same, with the parable. This parable is just like the one previous to that. Then he gave us three parables where it's saying the same thing. Verse 16, he's going to continue. And he said unto his disciples, There was a certain rich man which had a steward. The same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, How is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou may be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, What shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig the big, I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one his Lord's debtors unto him, and said to the first, How much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, Take thy bill, and sit down quickly, and write it 50. Then said he to another, And how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. He said unto him, Take thy bill, and write down 80. That's 80%. And the Lord commended the unjust steward, because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. I'm going to read that again. The Lord commended the unjust steward, because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say to you, make yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fall, ye may receive, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in least is also unjust in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous money, mammon, who will commit to your trust true riches? And if ye have been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant. Now watch this closely now. God is not a commender of sin, but he said, No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money and mammon. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said to them, Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, But God knoweth your hearts, for that you, for that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. See, the Pharisees, they had gotten themselves into a pickle, and I'm going to show you why. They love praise, and because they love praise, they were covetous. They love to be preeminent over others, and that's not the heart of God. But it's a leaven that corrupts, and they can't transition into light. And I'm going to show you why. Then God said, all right, read that again. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. The law and the prophets were unto John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presses into it. And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail. Whosoever putteth away his wife, okay, and commits another, commits adultery. And whosoever marrieth her that is put away from her husband commits adultery. Okay, he's going into other parables. But I want to show you why. See, the Pharisees didn't transition into the things of light like the publicans and sinners did, because they chose the way of darkness. The other people were tired of darkness, but they clung to it. Now this is why the Lord told me something. I said, Lord, how could a man be that evil? I asked him about a certain situation I knew about, and the Lord spoke this to me. He said, all who love the world system have one thing in common. And then he stopped talking. I said, well, what is it, my Lord? What is it? I don't want to figure out the wrong. I don't want to mess this up. He said, they share an unconditional enmity with God. Just like the Pharisees, just like the brother who didn't go out on a lustful adventure. But see, the animosity against people that come to the light. See, when a person go out there and it's wrong to go out there and do what the prodigal son did. But when he came back a new man with a new mind. Now he know for himself what sin will do. And so the father understood the ways of God and welcomed him back with gladness. But the one who never went away, that's why people don't preach the gospel. That's why they don't value living the gospel. It's because they're having a hard time doing what's right in the first place. And then their siblings go out there and do crazy stuff. And then the parents welcome them back. And they were there all the while. But this is something, as we transition into the love of God, we learn to value the people of God. A man can live his whole life with a dark heart, but then when he realized, hey, I was wrong, now he can be restored. You can tell people that they're wrong, they don't see it. They see their opinions. So many people have opinions about God, who God is, but the Word of God reveals to us perfectly who God is. And we transition into his love. If you can transition into his love, you can transition into his wisdom. You can transition into a pure life without restriction. You won't try to restrict others from coming to the light. You want everybody to come to the light. But guess what? Every child of God is not to that point. They're still trying to serve God with a worldly mindset, and they have a hard time transitioning. But when you transition fully, when you take on you begin to take on the ways of God, then it's easy to get healed. It's easy to get restored. It's easy to be blessed, because now you know the heart of God towards you. How can you believe God will heal you when you think he's mean? Think about it. The Pharisees were frustrated at God, at Jesus, who happens to be God, because When the Pharisees came to hear him, publicans and sinners came to hear him. They were upset at them, and they were upset more at Jesus, because he loved them and taught. And then he gave parables that show the real heart of God, not the law heart of God, that they misunderstood in the first place. They didn't receive the light of God's word. They looked at the word as a tool to make them look good before men. See, they were living. They didn't know it. And I'm going to read this word that God gave me again. He said, all who love the world system have one thing in common. They share an unconditional enmity with God. Unconditional enmity. And they don't always realize it. Okay, continue. They share an unconditional enmity with God. No matter how hard they attempt to hide it, it is there. Only people who believe God love God. Only people who seek the Lord through Jesus Christ with faith know God. And sometimes people don't seek him. Continuing. All who love the world have enmity against God, and they will not enter into in the glories of the Lord. Nor can they value it. The Pharisees didn't value what Jesus did. Nor can they value it. They will never yield. They are opposite. They are fallen. They remain fallen, saith the Lord. They are not subject to me, nor can they be. Only those who love and come to truth will receive salvation. All others will reject it according to the parable of the sower. And again, the parable of the sower, for three reasons, people came and left. Their heart, wayside heart, they didn't receive the word to get, and the devil stole the word that they heard. Those that, when the word fell on stony ground, they rejoiced at first. But when the sun came up, they died and withered away when trouble came. And then those that let the cares of this life get in the way, and they never bear